on today's Compassion Radio.
I'm not qualified for this position. I've not been trained for this. I don't have the education to run the business side of this ministry. But she was willing to obey the Spirit, and she was willing to do the difficult things that God placed in front of her and that people asked her to do.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
On the trail of a new thing God is doing all around the world. Welcome to Compassion Radio. Today, we drop in on one of our own, and truly the most youthful member of our team, Bram Floria's daughter, Demi. Coming from such a missionary-minded heritage, she's been quite the world traveler in recent years. And not long ago, she had the chance to drop in for an extended visit at one of Norman Cher Nelson's favorite places on the planet, the Door of Hope Ministry, just outside Johannesburg, South Africa. So what is God doing at this remarkable facility that has rescued little babies by the thousands for the past 15 plus years? Well, give us the next 25 minutes for a first-hand visit. You will be glad you did. Here's Bram.
For this segment, we have back with us Demi Floria, a girl I'm pretty proud of. And she's going to tell us more about this month's project from a very personal perspective. And we'll be hearing a lot of stories about the people that are involved with the Door of Hope Ministry, especially the babies. And that's where we're going to start in this segment. So, Demi, what was it like meeting the babies for the first time?
The babies were incredibly full of joy from the first moment that I stepped into their playroom. I was fortunate to be able to spend some time with the volunteers who work there, who make the ministry run year-round, and just get to see what they do during their playtime, during their feeding time, their nap time. The babies were very well cared for, and it showed in the joy and contentment that you could see in them.
That's neat. The number of babies that are in each of these homes is pretty phenomenal. They're not warehoused by any means. They're actually engaged and played with and taught and raised like children with parents. But there's a lot of them in these houses. How many people did you see working with the babies, and how many babies were being served?
Well, each of the three houses are different sizes, and so naturally we'll have different numbers of babies in them. I believe houses the most babies currently. Those babies House 1, and there was almost 40, ranging from infant to about 3 years old.
As we're going to hear in this next segment, there's going to be a lot of noise, a lot of joyful noise, like you were talking about. What's your impression about how the servants, the people that actually work there at Door of Hope, handle the loud noises and all the demands on them?
Definitely with a lot of compassion and a lot of love.
Yeah.
There wasn't one person I met who volunteered or worked for Door of Hope who it wasn't evident that they were passionate about what they were doing and did it out of love for the babies. The girl you'll hear in this recording, her name is Janita, and she came all the way from Holland. I believe she had been at Door of Hope for 6 weeks when I arrived there. Day in and day out, she spent on her knees, crawling around, loving on toddlers and infants with a smile on her face.
You'll hear plenty of joy, folks. So here's a little segment of Demi getting introduced to these babies for the first time. And new friend, Janita from Holland.
You just like to crawl all over people, don't you?
You're just like to get up and do
Janita, what is this time right now called? What are the babies doing right now?
I think it's playing time.
Playtime?
They had their bottles, they had their cereal, and now we're just playing with toys, calling them, changing them if they do. And it's time for visitors to come as well.
Yeah, we have a couple of visitors breaking up fights.
Yes. Yeah, too.
These are the big babies, is that right?
Yes, true. There are 15 big babies. Four of them are going to toddlers in an hour. Yeah.
And what will the other big babies do after playtime?
They will get cereal and then change them and they will go to sleep.
Well, Demi, we warned them. There was going to be a lot of noise and a lot of joy in that recording, and it's a wonderful thing to hear. That sure beats the idea of scared or afraid babies crying. Obviously, there's a lot of fun happening in that room, which is what you would expect for a house full of life.
Yeah, and it really is a house. There was nothing about this place that said orphanage or that said neglected or mistreated, abandoned babies. Everything about the household was a house. It was a home. You could tell that everybody was at home there.
Demi, let's move on to some more of the people that serve these babies day in and day out. You sat down with the manager of Baby House Number One, and this lady was full of some real energy, almost like a laser-like enthusiasm. Tell me a little more about her.
Celestine originally came from the Congo, and when she first moved to South Africa, her husband was called to the ministry. Neither of them knew how that was going to look. So Celestine spent years working as a volunteer for Door of Hope because she was passionate about what they were doing and because she just genuinely cared for the babies and the people who worked at Door of Hope as volunteers and as full-time staff. And over the course of about 10 years, I believe, Celestine worked her way up into the position of manager of Baby House One. Celestine was a tall lady who was full of energy and full of life. She was very quick to laugh. She had people coming in and out of her office constantly when we were doing the interview who either had questions or just wanted to say hi to Mama Celestine. There was lots of camaraderie in her office.
So let's hear a little bit from Demi and her interaction with the blessed Celestine.
I'm sitting here with Celestine, and you are the home manager at Baby House One.
Yes.
Can you tell me your story? Like you just said, you came here and you started out working as a cleaner.
When I came, I heard about Door of Hope in my church because I'm from Bellevue Baptist Church.
And that's here in Johannesburg?
Yes. My pastor was a believer in Berea Baptist Church where Door of Hope started, mm-hmm. where there is a hole in the wall. When my pastor went to Bible school, he started a church in Bellevue. I tried to go to that church. I found that because we changed the address, we accepted to go there, me and my husband. So we remained there. After that, they say we become deacons there. But I heard all the time they talking about the offer. I accepted to go volunteer in Berea.
So you started out in Baby House too,
yes,
there at Berea.
I was a volunteer just to go help from 8 to 4. It was from Monday to Friday until I knew what they're doing there. And then they start now asking me to replace if someone is sick.
To be one of the aunties?
Yes. And then I start like covering when someone is off. And then they had a short year, the cleaner, she resigned. Then they asked me to come do it. I said to them, I don't know how to do, but they say I can try. Mm-hmm. I tried to do it. And after that, when I finished, they found someone who can do it properly. Then they said to me, I can work in all the houses day or night. So I started doing that. After that, I work in this house as a supervisor, 2010. Then in 2012, I became a home manager.
And just a minute ago, you were saying how you don't see yourself as qualified to do any of these things, but because of God inside
yes,
of you.
Yes, because if you can see where I came from, someone who we don't see in the spirit cannot put me where I am because they will see firstly I'm not from here, I don't speak good English. So they were supposed to take someone, but God did tell them to put me here in this house.
I think that's wonderful. It seems that you have been a huge blessing in this house.
I think so because the Pastor Cheryl, she said she prayed God say to her, me are suitable in this house.
What has been one of your favorite parts about working for Door of Hope?
I love babies. One of my duty here to share the word of God every day on lunchtime. It become like my mission at Door of Hope. So I take the burden of Door of Hope like my own.
Can you think of any specific stories about a baby or about a staff member here that just really encourages you or just helps you see that God is definitely at work in and through Door of Hope?
In the past, we had someone came here working, but she was not a Christian. The more just we share, we pray, the lady noticed that we have something that she don't have. She asked to go for leave. When she came back, she said she saw something in us that she didn't have. She accepted Christ in her life and they give that testimony. So it's very good for us. We're doing the work for babies and God can see us through in what we're doing. Because when we are working, the Apostle Paul said, in any condition we have to share the gospel, good or wrong. I know here is not easy to look after 20 women, but we share the word of God and God is at work. So I'm very happy because My husband is a pastor, but we don't have yet a church because we are from that church, Bellevue Baptist Church.
Okay.
Then he finished also the Bible College.
Your husband is, or he's trying to get his own church. If that does happen, will you stay working here at Door of Hope, or will you work with him in the ministry at his church?
I'll see, because what I'm doing, I'm directed by the Holy Spirit. Everything, like now, we want to go forward in the ministry, but we're asking directions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do it, just what I can say to you is my own will, but the will of God, you know. Because when I'm here, I see myself doing also the work of God.
No, I definitely think you're doing the work that God has prepared for you here. It seems like you see a bigger picture. You kind of see that you have a mission to the aunties who are working here, to the volunteers who come through, and also to the babies. You're kind of like the mama bear here.
I kind of like that visual, the mama bear. We'll get right back to Bram and Demi and their special on-site interviews from the Door of Hope in South Africa. But first, this word from Norm.
My friend, did you know that you can save a baby's life today by making a contribution to our compassion project known as the Door of Hope? Close to 1,000 little lives have been saved. Isn't that incredible? And approximately 60 infants in a month are abandoned by desperate mothers and found in garbage dumpsters, in toilets, storm drains, shoeboxes, along roadsides and in city parks. Now you may ask, how could a mother do such a thing? I do know this. Two things are certain. One, the babies are blameless victims. And two, the babies deserve a chance at life. Cheryl Allen, who was then the pastor of the small Berea Baptist Church in the Berea Hillbrow area of Johannesburg, one of the most dangerous areas in the city, couldn't turn away once she was aware of this terrible situation. Church members had cut a hole through the high wall that protects the church's property in this very tough neighborhood. They had placed a padded bin inside that hole. They wired the bin so that an alarm sounded in the church compound when even the tiniest baby was placed in it. And then they hung hinged doors over the bin. The outside door read, "The Door of Hope." And when the alarm sounded, personnel in the church rushed out to the bin and they rescued the babies. Well, it worked. Babies began to appear in the Door of Hope. In fact, it worked so well that soon there were too many babies to care for within the small house on the church property. And that's where this ministry, Compassion Radio, became involved. We committed to raise enough money for the Door of Hope to purchase a home in a safe, clean suburb where the growing number of toddlers could be accommodated and cared for. We didn't have the money, but we made the pledge. And thanks to compassionate partners just like you, we raised the money that was needed for the Door of Hope first baby house. At that time, less than 100 babies had been rescued. Today, a second and a third house have been added. In addition, the majority of those babies have been adopted by Christian families in South Africa, and they're being raised to serve the Lord and affect the future of South Africa. My friend, it doesn't get any better than this. Now, wouldn't you like to be a part of this great story? And that means a need for more baby food and diapers, more clothing, more baby bottles, more blankets, more medical supplies, more everything in order to provide the very best in baby and child care and to keep the baby houses in tip-top shape. What I'm doing today is inviting you to take a simple action of compassion and to send the best contribution that you can send to rescue little ones who have been knit together by God and allowed by Him to breathe the breath of life. Your gift can provide for the basic care of one baby for 1 month. I just hope that you'll consider how valuable these abandoned little babies are to our Heavenly Father. He loves each one. So, will you love and care for them as He does? Oh, be a part of the Door of Hope Project. Send your gift today and know that God will be pleased.
Please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free, 800-868-2478. Or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Friend, you make the victories possible. We need you. Please contact us today. Let's get back now to the program.
you see a bigger picture. You kind of see that you have a mission to the aunties who are working here, to the volunteers who come through, and also to the babies. You're kind of like the mama bear here. Like, you kind of take care of all of the aunties. And is that kind of how you see yourself?
Yes, yes, because it's not easy to work with the women. But, you know, all these things, we do it not by our effort. I noticed that if you do something by your own, then you will not go far. Mm. I was not willing to come here because I work first in the two houses as a home manager. I look after 8 staff, 9 staff. Then when they say I'll come here, the 3 departments, I do the schedule monthly. I was thinking how I'll start because I don't know anything.
Because this is the biggest house, is that right? How many aunties are on the schedule here?
Almost 20 aunties.
And how many babies are in this house right now?
This house, I think we have 37.
37? Okay.
I asked myself what I'll do. But the way God did direct me, he did tell me more. I have to be more in prayers. So I do this work, I pray more.
That was actually my next question, was how has working here in this home increased your faith or strengthened your relationship with Christ? So it seems like you've developed more of listening to the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, and being constantly in prayer. Is there anything else you could add to that?
Before, when I came, I saw the way people was acting, but I noticed that we are in the front gap of warfare. The Bible says that the enemy come to destroy, to kill, but Christ came to give life in fully. Then, because as we work with God to take the children that was supposed to be destroyed, the enemy also is not happy with us. That's why I say, let us solve our problems with love, because it's like you want to do something good and then the enemy don't want. Then God say, I can abandon you, but God don't abandon you. Now God cannot come here, look after the babies, people who accept to come here to work. So as we work on the behalf of God. So that's why I'm very careful when I work. I want God to see me in what I'm doing, not only for my stomach.
Not just for yourself, not for your family, but you see this as the work that God is doing and he's entrusting
yes,
it to
because,
you.
Because we want to complete something someone started. You see, Pastor Cheryl start this thing in the church. Then as also we came, the way the Bible says, Paul did put the seed, Apollos came to put water, and God make it grow.
So you're part of the growth that's happened out of that seed that was planted a long time ago.
Yes, we're trying to do what I'm able to do, like to share the word, to encourage people, to pray for them, because I feel that I'm called. My work that I do, like I do the schedule, replace people, I'm on call. Besides that.
And this morning you were showing some visitors around the house. You just kind of pick up the slack. Whatever needs to be done, that's kind of where you step in.
Yes. I say to you, I'm a home manager.
So you manage the home?
Yes. I check if everything is fine, to show people around, do orientation, maybe the indoor training, something that have to be done here. If there is trouble, also I have to fix.
So you're a very busy lady. I won't keep you very much longer. Answering phone calls and answering questions and keeping this house running smoothly.
Yeah.
So just real quick, if you could finish that thought. You said every day is a favorite moment. Why is that?
You know, other people, they eat, they sleep, they don't have God for them. Just then they was so surprised to see me. I'm different in the spirit. Then they want to know who I am.
They saw the Spirit of God inside of you.
I think so. I say to them, I'm a child of God and Jesus is my life.
You see yourself that way now.
And when I answer, I notice that you are in the spirit. I don't choose where to be enjoying myself. I make myself happy. I make the people happy. So the aunties love me so much. Even they ask them to vote for someone to represent you. They vote me, all of them, because they see how I am. Every day, I know how to deal with my problem.
So you are an example of the Apostle Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say,
Philippians 4:4.
Is that one of the verses that you say to yourself a lot?
Yes. When we're working here, we have to see far. The work that we're doing is not only looking after the babies, including the people who come to donate. If they don't have God in them, I don't have silver, no? But what I have, That's why you see we have some tools.
Yeah.
Then if we see, we talk with someone, we see we can help, we give also something to show that this thing is for God.
Yeah. Well, is there anything right now that's on your heart that we could pray for you or for this ministry, for your family?
Okay, this ministry got to send the people who follow the vision. Understand?
People who have the full vision of this ministry.
Yes, because you know this thing, if you look at it like a camper or a shop, or you see,
you only see one
miss
part.
The mission. So we are so glad if you can pray for the ministry and all the people that work here, and to pray for Pastor Cheryl herself, God to keep her stronger.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate you giving me a couple minutes out of your busy day.
No problem. Thank you so much. God bless you.
So that's Celestine, a girl you mentioned that came all the way from the Congo to move to South Africa with her husband because of ministry opportunities. So obviously that God brought them halfway across a continent to serve, and she found an awesome place. What did you learn from her personally about dedication and ministry?
I think from Celestine, I learned that God doesn't always show us the full picture. When he calls us to something or when he calls us to a place, he knows what the end result is. He knows where the position is that he wants to move you into. And sometimes that's something we've never imagined or couldn't imagine without his creative imagination in us. Celestine, from the very beginning, told me, I'm not qualified for this position. I've not been trained for this. I don't have the education to run the business side of this ministry. But she was willing to obey the Spirit, and she was willing to do the difficult things that God placed in front of her and that people asked her to do. And you could tell that she was absolutely the right person for the job. But something she said to me that really stuck out was, someone who doesn't see in the Spirit wouldn't think to put me in this position. And that was testimony not just to her willingness to be obedient to God, but also to the spiritual discernment of the leadership of Door of Hope, and how at Door of Hope, they're not just about the babies. They're very much about the people who God brings to them to serve and to be served.
I've heard a lot from them in the years past about how much they love the people that God gives them. So you've heard from Celestine. Well, those are a few really powerful segments, baby. I thank you so much for sharing those with the audience today. I know we have many more stories to tell in the days to come, and we'll come back to that very shortly. In the meantime, Demi, I want to thank you on behalf of Compassion Radio for being the eyes and ears for us at a crucial time in their development. And we know that they're going to be spending a lot of time dreaming big dreams. And one of the big dreams for us to carry is to help with the original baby house where it all began. In fact, that is our focus project this month at Compassion Radio.
My friend, if you love children, little babies, and you have a concern about children who are abandoned, this project is absolutely for you. Cher, tell our listeners a bit more about this if they don't know about it already.
Well, we discovered this years and years ago. One of our listeners from Indonesia actually told us about this ministry, which is in South Africa. The pastor of a small church in a very difficult neighborhood in Johannesburg, South Africa, discovered that babies were being disposed of in the most terrible of ways, from mothers who were either drug addicted or too poor to be able to take care of a baby. Some of them were prostitutes. The pastor came up with a unique idea, and this was the first one that we had ever heard about anywhere in the world, although they are in several places now. They cut a hole in the security wall around their church. They put in a bin and a cover on each side. They made the bin sensitive to weight so that it could set off an alarm within the church, and they put up posters around the neighborhood saying that they were willing to take the babies that were going to be disposed of. They were hoping that some of the mothers might reconsider and take their babies back if they were able to, or that family might come and claim the babies, or the babies could be cared for, taught about Jesus, and grow up as Christians in South Africa, and perhaps become the next leaders of the country, because a whole generation was being wiped out there because of the AIDS epidemic. Well, that was one church, one little baby house, and when we were there, they had about 30 children at that time. Since then, they've gone to well over 2,000 babies that have been rescued either through the door or brought to them by police or other people. Many of those children have now been adopted into Christian families. The preference is to keep them there in South Africa so that that they can grow up to be a benefit to their country. We were able to purchase the first house for them outside of the hillbrow, desperately dangerous area where the babies, as they became crawlers and toddlers, could have a place to safely move around in grass, in clean air, and in a big house. Well, they've gone on now to 3 houses, and they're in the process of now building the Door of Hope Village, which will contain all kinds of help for the babies and children that can grow up to their 18th birthday there if they're not adopted. And we just really, really pray that you will care for these little children. By giving through Compassion Radio, we will be able then to help them with the village and with the care for the babies.
Your gift of any size would be such a blessing today. We can't succeed without your faithful prayer and financial support. Please call today with your gifts, encouragements, and prayer requests at 1-800-868-2478. That's toll-free 800-868-2478. Or make your gift online at CompassionRadio.com. You can also reach us by writing Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. On behalf of Norm, Cher, Bram, and the team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.